and welcome to another episode of the Polytechnicast. I'm Rob Stenzinger, and this is a place where I reflect on the things I make, right? I make video games. I do some teaching about interactive design and creativity and all this kind of generalist stuff that goes into making meaningful products. And well, this is a bit of a catch-up episode. It's been a while since I've posted. It's a classic thing to do some self-referential stuff with all that. But, you know, we'll just say that I want to share some planning I've been doing and that I've been putting into action. Because, well, I started working on this video game called Word Turtle Island about three years ago now. And it's, there was so much that went into that I ended up putting teaching on pause mostly, right? I mean, when you have classes that are published, like I have some Skillshare classes, I kept those out there, but I shut down my other stuff that has, you know, its own sort of support efforts and whatnot to deal with. Thinking about publishing that again, at least, you know, some of the more recent workshops, but that's more to come when I share how I'm putting these plans into action after I share what in the world are these plans, because, hey, I'm making a video game, right? Isn't that enough? And, nope, not quite. That's the short answer of that. Cause, share my screen for those checking out the video version of this, where, let's see, clicking on the right thing, I have an outline using MindNode. It was really funny. I shared a video recently on TikTok that I had MindNode on in the background, and that got reaction as much as people commenting about what I shared, which is funny. But yeah, mind mapping tools and whatnot. I use all kinds of tools to get thoughts out of my head. And so here I am looking at an outline for this episode, which is called Teaching Interactive Design and the Word Turtle Island Arcade Machine. Isn't that funny? So like I was, you know, sharing, reflecting back a few years where, I was working on Word Turtle Island and also doing teaching stuff, right? And, well, I mean, it was a lot of juggling, and it was the kind of, I'm sure you've thought of this before or experienced it, but like you can, you know, be working on, you know, pretty much only one thing at a time, and you may have lots of other projects and commitments, but somehow, you know, managing that and going in between, picking it up, setting it down and whatnot, that can get, well, kind of hard to manage or stressful, right? Emotionally expensive. And for me, even though for many years before that, I had been very used to juggling stuff. Maybe it was partially, you know, the pandemic. Maybe it was some of the other life events that happened for me and my family during that time. I don't know, but it's, I found myself in the situation where I was making progress on the teaching stuff, but not making enough progress on my game, Word Turtle Island. And I felt very attached to the ideas behind it because I did a whole, you know, sort of self-facilitated product filtering set of sessions where I thought about all the different things that I care a lot about making. And, you know, through that gauntlet of different concerns, different, you know, what did I want to build with? What was I ready to do? And whatnot, the whole classics of feasible, viable, and desirable are they're useful filters for picking, like, if, you know, which project is in a good situation to work on next. And Word Turtle Island came out on top, even though it had some challenges and risks to it because I was very new to using Godot. I was working in a new game engine, making, you know, new characters and story in a world, and and using some, you know, game design mechanics that I hadn't fully, you know, built before, right? But I felt really attached to that idea as being my next game. So I did it. But then, you know, as a, you know, kind of cost of that where it's like it was feasible, but with, you know, great effort. In order to make progress on it, I'd paused the teaching and I focused like for like 2.5 years making Word Turtle Island. And it was a pretty awesome adventure. And one of the biggest takeaways I have from that is like, let's see, I'm going to switch my camera view again. And one of these days I'll practice this enough to do this, the transition without saying I'm doing that. But it was, and that's the fun thing too, is all the narration and what exactly was I digging into. I was thinking about the teaching and the juggling of the stuff, feeling attached to it. And I needed to invent things to make Word Turtle Island work. Like I wanted a dictionary that would be fun words in the game, and then the open source things that I found that had licenses that I could use that I ended up cobbling together and making my own robust dictionary. I found, wow, there was a lot of words in there that were super negative or misogynistic or whatnot, even though they technically weren't swears and stuff like that. But I thought, well, it's okay, if this isn't harmonious with the feel of the game and the messages of the world, then okay, I've got a lot of curation to do. So, you know, I learned that, and I learned what the story needed to be and the, you know, the design of the game. It started out being all about typing action, but then became, well, hey, wait a minute. What's really important here is words, and it's actually fun to use a game controller and play this, so I don't have to type to use word powers. I can mash buttons, and that feels great. And all these different things that grew, the story, the mechanics, the game modes of like the chill library experience and the challenging action of the nature dungeons, and then the, you know, refinement of the characters and this, you know, all this stuff. Just, and then I what I learned, like the big takeaway that I was, you know, that I almost forgot to share, was this discovery process is fantastic. It's something that I think I would have benefited from on a lot of projects I worked on. And I think a lot of other folks making their own thing, or were, when you're, you know, working in, you know, an organization, it's like, if you have a sort of learning approach to saying, here's what I'm making, here's why I'm making it. Now that I made it, what did I learn from the experience of making it? What did I learn about putting it into, you know, the hands of people that can explore it and make use of it and stuff? And then keep that feedback going long enough to learn enough, right? And I don't know, like if I would have in those early sessions, if I had some kind of realistic, powerful insight that, hey, wait a minute, Word Turtle Island is going to take 2.5 years to get far enough to then release into early access, not even going to be done with it, 2.5 years to get to early access, I probably wouldn't have done it at the time. Like just the magic of, you know, hindsight and, you know, what ifing and whatnot. But I was also thankful that I did it, because of what I learned with Godot and how I feel ready to make more games and different things with Godot. And the technology, the pieces that I built for making my particular kinds of games, I just, it was an investment in capabilities and in a particular game and a story, right? So it was a pretty great set of experiences. That, what is that as a short takeaway? I wish more projects and people and situations and teams had that opportunity, right? Because having space for that project to become what it became was an amazing gift. And now, you know, having, it's been like 6 months in early access, I've continued to iterate on it and stuff. It's, you know, I'm learning, well, you know, it's reaching an audience, but it needs to reach more people, right? It hasn't, like my desirability hypothesis, I think is reasonable based on having, over the course of that 2 years, I had a few different in-person events that, that I worked Word Turtle Island into as part of an educational experience, right? And so I was learning from seeing people play this thing and what did they do and what did they say and the kind of things they asked and all that stuff. And so it's not like I was working in a vacuum for those, you know, those years. I was getting data that my desirability hypothesis showed good potential, right? And, you know, but at the same time, after like the non-in-person events, there just wasn't enough of that connection happening, right? So maybe so I'm starting to learn from, you know, well, further attention and effort on the project. Like now that it's in the market, I've shared some of these things already, like learning, like what does early access really mean on Steam? And it's different than what it meant, you know, 5-10 years ago. And it's that, and how, like how different the signal is as far as the online versus the in-person and stuff. So what does this really mean? So here's what I'm thinking is that I am not driving enough traffic to Word Turtle Island, right? There's not enough visibility. And also, here's another hunch. I need to test this, which I'm thinking it's not instantly readable. Like, I think it takes a little bit of context that someone passing by, they're not connecting with the core of the game just by looking at the banners, right? So I'm working on that, making it more instantly readable by making new banner art and, you know, marketing materials. So, well, you know, even though I've done some experiments with the marketing, I'm, you know, getting posts out more often. I'm getting practiced at talking about my projects more and better in useful ways. So that I'm getting some connection there, but here's what I think is, in addition to, like, there's, you know, the not instantly readable, that's a pretty simple one to handle, but the not enough visibility, that's a harder one to handle. Well, why? Because I can draw stuff pretty, I'm pretty practiced at that. And I can make new high fidelity, you know, compelling versions of cover art and, you know, banners and stuff. I think I'll be able to do that. And I actually have 4 strong candidates in progress right now. If you look back at my Instagram feed, you'll see, you know, some of that art in its earlier stages. And, okay. So what am I learning if I piece all this stuff together? So I'm forming a new hypothesis. I feel that my bubbles are too small. The sort of zones in which I operate, both online and in person. So what can I do about that? Well, I mean, I could do paid placement of stuff. I can, you know, fund ad campaigns based on the stuff I'm posting, right? So anytime you post on a lot of different platforms, they will happily take, you know, what you shared, but they'll also say, hey, you know, slip me some money and I'll let more people see this and whatnot. And, you know, when you're bootstrapping your business, self-funded, going on a very extended period of time, like, you know, I have way more interest in what I would call sweat equity, metaphorically, right? To put in the work in some ways that I care about and make posts out of stuff I care about, right? And then, you know, grow my connections that way online. But hey, what about in person? So here's a funny thing that happened is, somewhere in my social feeds, there's an art gallery in North Dakota, Fargo, I think, Fargo, North Dakota. And I would have to dig through my notes to find its name. I wish I had that name right here, right now. It's some kind of small community, like underground art thing that I saw. When I saw it, I thought, oh, that's so cool. Oh, wow, that's in Fargo. And I thought, you know, this is going to sound like it's out of left field. I feel that there's a lot more connection that can be had among, you know, folks in urban areas and folks in rural areas. And that's been a thing I've been noodling about for a long time. And then considering the political discourse in the U.S. and the my own personal experience, living in the Midwest of the U.S. and then, you know, visiting, you know, relatives and friends and whatnot in far-flung places and seeing, you know, cultural differences and pondering about that. I'm like, how do we do better about, you know, connecting instead of othering and all that? And then I saw, what was it? Springboard for the Arts had an initiative and some kind of grant funded stuff that they did around connecting those audiences. And that's been sitting in the back of my head going like, wow, what a cool idea doing some collaboration like that. And then I saw this post from this small gallery in Fargo, North Dakota. And I don't know why this occurred to me, but I thought, what if I had an arcade cabinet that was like for Word Turtle Island, just let's say a tabletop arcade cabinet, but it was just Word Turtle Island. And it's like, that's on so many levels. This is me and my art, the physical cabinets and the sides and the game inside. And also how you trying to be creative about, you know, making it a fun control surface and stuff. I thought, I wonder if they would want me to visit with that. What would that be like? You know, do people do that? And I thought about how many different forms that could take. And it got me, this is the piece of it. As far as, you know, I mentioned how I'm working a little bit to extend and break out of my online bubble, but my in-person bubble, you know, one way to do that is touring, right? My friend Jersey Drozd has his book, The Inscrutable Dr. Bear and the Case of the Two-Faced Statue. And, you know, talking with him and also his, you know, seeing his recent newsletter, and he's doing a call out to the world to say, hey, I will do virtual tours in support of this book, you know, virtual appearances, and then, you know, appear in person in my region. And I thought, well, yeah, I mean, I would love to do that. Do some kind of, you know, events in connection with this game, but also the advocacy I have to share with the things I teach. You know, finding joy and playfulness and productive, you know, making cool stuff you believe in out of caring about games and human-centered design and combining that stuff and with a little bit of the creativity as well. I'm like, well, I have all kinds of activities that I already made and that I could actually make new ones and I could hang out like an artist in residence for a few hours somewhere, right? In a gallery or whatnot. So here you go. I think this is getting closer to the whole picture, but it's ambitious. It's a fair amount. So here's what I think. It's, you know, my bubbles are too small, online, in person. I believe in my products, but I do believe, I've been missing the teaching and the advocacy of the human-centered design stuff. And I know this could be sort of, quirky neural potentially ADHD kind of brain stuff, where it's like, I love having, you know, many projects, but also, you know, sometimes do too many things and all that stuff. But you know, missing the teaching and then the inspiration from that gallery. And I thought, okay, so what if I did this whole thing? And this has been December, has been piecing together. How do I make sort of this world of stuff a cohesive thing that fits me as a creator, as an independent business person, and, you know, becomes a manageable set of endeavors, right? So here you go. So to advocate about human-centered design, but in a partnerships-styled way. And I know, like, I haven't mentioned much of that this entire, you know, journal, but I realized that my style of human-centered design is very much emphasizing the inclusion aspect of human-centered design and, you know, including like what I call the five audiences of, you know, whoever's funding it, you know, the business, whoever's making it, the team, and then whoever it's for, you know, the end users, right? That audience. But then I also recommend including the world around, right? All these folks and yourself. Those five audiences, I think, are a really robust way to show up with caring, well-made, thoughtful things. And then how do I do that? Let's see. Well, I care about the solo creator aspect and I care about the team aspect. Because the solo creators, in a way, it's like me reaching out to my past self saying, you know what? Instead of a couple decades, what if I could teach you this in a couple weeks or a couple hours? Wouldn't that be nice? I would have loved that boost. So I think that shows there's something there. And then there's also folks who are in organizations who I think could use the encouragement and the boost, where sometimes, you know, it's like, hey, I have this for you. It's dangerous out there. Take one of these, right? And that can be helping engineers or artists or people in business that are looking to, they're like, what is it about those UX or human-centered design tools of, you know, how could I do some good research to make a better thing? How would I talk with my audience and have that not just be about a marketing thing or a sale thing? Anyway, like, there's lots of reasons to share this stuff with folks who are in the worlds that I've been in, right? Okay, cool, cool. So that's like a crux of the teaching stuff, right? So, and then do workshops with that, do free stuff with that. I'm kind of like, there's a lot of bigness in this, right? Where I think I can boil it down where it's basically teach and make games. And then there's a few branches in there, right? Because the make games includes the physicalized version of the game, the arcade cabinet, right? I know it may sound silly, but I know it's like me listening to joy and love and, I don't know, hope and fun and curiosity, and arcades still do that for me. So I know that's partially a nostalgia thing, but I've seen, you know, games are not a thing of the past. You know, you go to big events that, like, the one I want to get to again, but I really could use some more funding to do well. It's the Milwaukee Midwest Gaming Classic. What a cool event that was, but also logistics a little challenging. If I had a funding page set up, it definitely would be listing. I would like to go to that and get support to make it there, but I don't have that set up right now. Maybe I will quickly after I post this. But you know, I can show up to an event like that with an arcade, and I can see all kinds of things of how, you know, thousands and thousands of people are really, you know, into this, And I know the numbers are bigger than that when you research the, you know, the overall market of video games and stuff, even indie games and indie within indie games, because there's indie and then there's solo indie, right? Anyway, like a Devolver Digital is different than a Supergiant Games, is different than a Rob Stenzinger Games. So anyway, so here you go. You know, keep making games, do the physicalized version of the games, use that to try to break out of my bubble, in person, do the online teaching to break out of, you know, to try to reach further online that way with like essentially micro lessons and workshops for free, that folks can be like, well, awesome, and to find out about my games and support me through that, or dig into the more full versions of that that I publish as well. Anyway, yeah, it's a lot. It's ambitious because in a way I've set myself up with the educational, you know, the learning experiences that I have crafted, the dozens of talks and workshops and the books that I've made, then the books in progress, right? And that I put on pause for the most part, that I'm coming back to it. And so I'm not starting from nothing. But yeah, it's, you know, there's definitely a lot to still figure out as far as the now the sorting of exactly this is my next video workshop, which is probably going to be paper prototyping for interactive design, which is based on one that I've taught for multiple years now, and even taught last summer, and have seen folks design video games and museum interactive experiences, in-person lesson ideas, card games, board games. I mean, I've seen it all. Mostly people design video games with this workshop, but it's a flexible thing. It's like, here, do some paper prototyping to, you know, make an interactive experience in full concept that you can test, right? Okay, so I'm excited about all this stuff. I'm excited to pick up things that I cared a lot about that I set down. I'm excited to break out of my bubbles, but I'm also daunted by this split of effort, right? So the summary of this is physical arcade, continuing making Word Turtle Island, offer free teaching, little videos, right? You can see what I've done so far. It's on my TikTok. I plan on getting it over to YouTube as well. But, you know, it's good stuff. People have some positive reactions and whatnot. And then a new workshop. So, and that would be the paper prototyping for interactive design. It's definitely not a small list, but it's doable, challenging. And I just wanted to share that this has been a product of a lot of planning and reflecting and examining like stuff I have made already, and really listening to like, what am I excited about doing next? And how do I, you know, reach out in better, more robust ways to get outside my bubble, right? So I'm going to wrap up here and with like one more thing to ask, right? So I'm looking to do this tour. Do you have places that you would like to invite me to? Do you know of places where you'd like to see me go, right? This could be indie game events, art galleries, arcades, libraries, schools, bars, makerspaces, any of the above, especially if it's in the region of like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, South Dakota, North Dakota, if it's close to Minnesota, that kind of thing. And, you know, roughly that region, I'm curious to show up and share and, you know, have you play the Word Turtle Island arcade, which is still work in progress. More on specifics of these projects, you know, in future installments of the Polytechnicast. But I'm looking to connect with and to be invited by. And, you know, if someone would like me to do actual talks and workshops and whatnot, looking at some kind of paid arrangement for that kind of thing, especially it depending on the community, right? If we're talking about a, you know, funded organization, a corporate environment and whatnot, that's a paid event. And if it's things like, you know, libraries and advocacy and so STEM, STEAM, that kind of stuff, that will be, you know, obviously about advocacy and reaching out. All good, all flexible. Small organizations, totally understand. Yeah, I would just drive to your art gallery and, you know, hopefully you have sort of a, like a high traffic, interesting event thing, expo thing, and would love to be there and show the game and do activities. I can bring my, the card game I created called Doodle Creatures Have Needs, which is a great design exercise, playful activity for all ages. And then some, lots of other things, possible talks and Q&A, all that. Okay, so there's my pitch for that, and hoping this can reach some folks that either, you know, it's I'm talking directly to you, and, you know, let's make some plans and get you on the calendar. Or, of course, let, you know, connect me with other folks or places that you think would be good to connect with. Yeah. And then, of course, virtual events are, I welcome those as well. So, yeah, this is the Polytechnicast, and it's a weird, fun hodgepodge of a podcast where I sometimes talk to friends and folks I know professionally, but it's typically me looking at a project, sharing what I'm working on, could be the experience of all the stuff around it, right? And I've been doing this for a long time. I mean, I don't know, I think 2010, 2011. I mean, it's like, wow, I'm getting on 14, 15 years here soon. And there's, you know, that's just, that's, this is a practice thing. It's like, what in my experience, my thinking, like here, like I shared this whole pile of ambition with you. And, you know, you may think, wow, what a cautionary tale. Glad I am only on one project. Or you might be inspired or feel a kinship or encouragement. And that's the hope with this kind of thing, is that it's me. I'm doing my things and sharing them with the world and talking about the experience of that with you. So you know, I welcome your questions too. At many Polytechnicasts, I will respond to your questions. So, you could send me an email where I'm rob@shieldsstenzinger.com. And in all the cases, whether you're here in video or in audio, thank you very much for listening.